In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
So glad you're joining us today here on the iSpy Radio Show. As every week, we help you get a little more intelligence on big government. You know, there are two ways to make money in the stock market. The normal way, investing in a company and hoping the stocks go up. But you can also make money, a lot of money, when stocks go down. Short selling. Essentially, you place a bet that a company won't do well. Perhaps they have a lot of debt, they're overextended, or you think their new products just won't do as well as everybody else thinks they will. When the rest of the market tanked in 2008, there were some people who made a lot of money because they knew the major banks had mortgage portfolios that were basically fraudulent and worthless. They knew that eventually reality would catch up. They actually made a movie about this called The Big Short with Christian Bale. There's a strange psychological and economic phenomenon known as loss aversion. The power of fear is stronger than the power of expectations and reasoned belief. In short, people care more about losing a dollar than they do about gaining a dollar. Just imagine if you had the ability to create panic in the stock market. You could make a lot of money when the sheep begin to stampede. After months of gains, the stock market took a dive last week and showed a tremendous amount of volatility. Something about it just didn't seem quite right. Especially since, as longtime listeners of iSpy know, our markets can, will be, and have been manipulated by people, organizations, and even governments who believe they are at war with us. And as you'll hear today, we may already be at war. I'd like to welcome now Kevin Freeman. He is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. Kevin, it's great to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
We're talking today about the stock market manipulation, and this has certainly happened in the past. The Russians and or Chinese likely were behind the market crash of 2008 based on our previous discussions. But why don't you remind our audience a little bit about all of that?
Yeah, actually, I began in this segment of the industry starting around 2007, 2008, when as just an investment manager, I began to notice that there was unusual trading activity. It's not normal. It's not economic. There was something fundamentally wrong with the way the markets were behaving. And so I contacted friends in the White House and the Pentagon, and I was given a small project to look at the possibility that economic warfare played a role in the 2008 stock market crash.
And what were some of the evidence that you were seeing at that point?
Well, there were the use of derivatives is probably the biggest red flag that we had. A derivative means it's something that's derived from something else. So when you buy a shares of a stock in a company, General Motors or Apple or Facebook, a derivative would be an instrument that is built around that those shares. For example, you can buy the right to buy or sell shares of a stock. Those are called options. But they get even more complex, and you get into things called credit default swaps, or you get into interest rate exchanges. And the further out you get from the actual underlying instrument, most recently they've been buying and selling volatility, how much it moves. These are bets. They're calculated. They're regulated, but not to the degree I'd like to see. And so in 2008, we saw people making bets on the stock market that made absolutely no sense, but in hindsight were used as weapons of mass destruction, according to Warren Buffett, financial weapons of mass destruction to take down the whole stock market. So there were actors outside the United States betting on certain aspects of our market. The bets got so large that it became destabilizing, and they took advantage of a weak point in our economy, and the net result was we had a stock market crash.
And when you say bad actors, are you talking about a coordinated effort by the Russians or the Chinese or other entities, or is this just kind of happenstance that multiple people were all just happening to do the same things?
It's really hard to tell with certainty, but we know for a fact that Russia, prior to the 2008 election, during the summer of 2008, during the Summer Olympics, apparently, according to what the Chinese told our then Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, Russia was trying to destroy Fannie and Freddie in a bid to manipulate the American economy. And they did it right before an election. And obviously, when you crash a stock market before an election, the party in power tends to lose power. It's 100% correlation. So my thesis is that they were trying then what they've been accused of now. They were trying to manipulate our election, and they helped elect President Barack Obama. Russia wasn't alone. There were elements in the Middle East. I don't know if they were working with the Russians or not working with the Russians, but they also placed large, large bets against the interests of the United States in the just prior to the 2008 election. In fact, it began on September 11th of 2008.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not at all a coincidence. It's kind of surprising that when we hear about Russian collusion, it just always seems to happen to help out the Democrats rather than the Republicans. How close did they really come to destroying our market? I know that, you know, obviously it went on for years, the upset to that, but how close did they really come to totally destroying it?
Well, you know, destruction is such a strong term. The United States is a resilient economy, but they came a lot closer than we would ever like to think. Representative Paul Kanjorski, who's a Democrat who was on the Financial Services Committee, talked about how we were hours away from the end of our nation as we know
it. Wow. Well, we're clearly resilient if we survived 8 years of Obama. But given the history that bad actors, whether foreign or domestic, can and will attack our market, what's the likelihood that last week's turbulent market was, in fact, manipulated by somebody?
Well, it's too soon for me to be able to determine with any certainty if it was a manipulation or if it was a natural event. But the instruments were at play. There were exchange-traded notes betting on how volatile the market's going to be. And they were, you know, people had been betting the market would be calm, and they put a lot of money behind it. And eventually, the market broke out of that calm, you know, every day going up, every month going up pattern. And when it did, it created a whole lot of selling. It's estimated that an $8 billion bet on volatility had a $1 trillion impact on stock prices.
Wow. Wow. Would that be considered normal, though, when you've had such a long period of stability like we've had? Would that be abnormal that somebody would then say, well, I'm going to bet that the market's going to suddenly turn volatile?
Well, the long period of stability was abnormal. And so Occam's razor would tell us that that was the abnormal, unusual thing. But what bothers me is at the same time that this came out, we also have press reports out of London where George Soros is very blatantly attempting to overturn the Brexit vote. And we know George Soros would do many different things to remove Trump. And we know that the president has enjoyed a strong and steady stock market, pointed to it regularly, said this is part of where his support comes from. And so if you wanted to disrupt the economy and you knew these instruments were available and you had the wherewithal, you cannot rule out the possibility that someone was manipulating. And you can manipulate simply by putting information out, for example, on these instruments that you might be willing to pay so much for them or sell them for so much, and you front run. And that there was a whistleblower that came out 2 days ago that claims that manipulation was taking place.
Yes. Yeah, I happen to see that. Okay, we are just getting started here with Kevin Freeman. He is an expert on economic warfare. Everyone stay with us. We'll have lots more coming up. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today with Kevin Freeman. He is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. You can visit his website. In fact, he's got a great article up there right now. His website is globaleconomicwarfare.com. And we've been talking about the market volatility that happened last week and maybe some suspicion that it was not just a normal cycle of the market. One of the things that was talked about a lot in terms of that dive that we had last week were the impact of these robots that are out there, these trading robots. I've kind of called them robo-brokers. These are bots that are programmed to sell or buy at given points. Let's talk a little bit about these. What exactly are these? How do they work? And why are they used?
Well, it's artificial intelligence. It's a high-frequency trading algorithm. They're used historically to skim pennies off of stock price movements, and they use predictive behavior. They'll look at things like if you put the word assassination in a news feed, in the right news feed, it might trigger selling. So they cause instantaneous, without human intervention, reaction to markets to buy or sell.
Well, if you're using these robots, these robo-brokers, and they will respond to things like that, it seems like they would be exceptionally vulnerable to this kind of manipulation, wouldn't they? I mean, and also, wouldn't they then have an amplifying effect that if they start to see a bunch of sellouts because some humans are out there saying, oh, well, they saw some bad news or something, wouldn't they then just amplify whatever it is that we're seeing?
Yeah, there's no question that they could cause a major meltdown. And you just contrast what life is like today. I met a broker who was alive during the early 1960s, and he started a firm, and he was in downtown Dallas, and he saw a parade going by in 1963, and he heard what sounded like gunshots and a lot of panic on the streets. So he went back to his office, and every broker in the office sold everything they could sell.
Wow.
And it was 8 minutes later that it caught, you know, the attention of the wire services and the New York Stock Exchange became aware. Well, those days are past. So by contrast, the Syrian Electronic Army a few years ago hacked the Associated Press Twitter feed and put out a tweet that says, White House hit, President hurt.
That's right, I remember that.
And the market crashed.
Yeah.
Now, it recovered quickly because it was false, but the high-frequency trading algorithms reacted to the fake news and caused the market to crash. So it's very serious, and once you start a snowball effect like that, even if you prove that the original basis for the argument was false, you've already started a panic, and under the right circumstances, you could take down the stock market.
Hmm. In terms of these bots, what kinds of regulations are there on using them? Because just from hearing the little bit that we've discussed already about these things, it sounds like this could cause major damage if they were essentially unleashed without any kind of checks or balances on them.
Well, just imagine, for example, if someone hacked in to a major trading firm and took over their trading algorithms.
Yes.
They would inadvertently be selling. They wouldn't even know it. It wouldn't have even been programmed in. And we have examples where a Russian national was arrested, convicted, tried, released, rearrested, because he got access to Goldman Sachs trading algorithms. So it's very real. A hacking could do this, and there was a meeting in Congress about this, closed door hearing, and in the House, and they wanted to know, is it possible? Could someone do it? And there's no question that someone could do it. Is there regulation to stop them? No, not really.
Wow. In terms of what you were seeing last week, is there any evidence that some of these bots were hacked?
I don't have any evidence of that. I think it more lends itself to the volatility bet, but you know, someone with the money could have certainly gone the wrong way or gone a different way on these exchange traded notes. We have a real serious problem in that we have more exchange traded funds and exchange traded notes than we have underlying securities.
Yeah.
So these are all derivatives. We have another problem in that we have all of these instruments exist, and if you find the right lever and you pull it at the right time, you can have a predetermined outcome, which means that a financial terrorist with not a large amount of money, you know, in the grand scheme of things, could totally disrupt the market and profit from it.
Wow. So these bots that made such huge impacts last week, are any of these bots located overseas, and is that allowed under current regulations? And then secondly, Are any of these bots controlled by the Chinese or Russians or some of these other bad actors?
Well, we don't know who's controlling them. Where they tend to be located is as close as possible to the stock exchanges. Mm-hmm. You want no latency, because that the ones that are supposedly legitimate, although I have a problem with them, because they spoof the markets and move the markets and so forth, but they'll want to be closely located to the New York Stock Exchange in this instance as possible, because if you have no latency, then you have higher profits. But again, we don't know where they're controlled. We know that there were two Russian spies picked up by the FBI and tried, and the reason was we overheard intercepted conversations where they were being told by their handler to learn how to use exchange-traded products to cause a market crash.
You had mentioned that there was a whistleblower, and we have a link to that article up on iSpyRadio.com on today's show page, and he was talking about, he was trying to warn that the Wall Street's fear gauge is being rigged. Can you give us a kind of a summary of what that's about?
Yeah, it's that volatility. The fear gauge is known as the VIX, V-I-X, and you can buy, it's essentially you're buying volatility from someone else, or they're selling you volatility, and people tend to buy the VIX as a hedge or an insurance. If the market's going up and they think, well, if it gets real volatile, how can I make money? Well, I'll pay so much for volatility today, and if the market goes crazy, the price of that volatility will go up in the future. Again, these are derivative instruments. They are regulated, but they have such an enormous market impact. If volatility prices go up and someone has shorted volatility, somebody says, well, the market's been calm for the past year, it's going to be calm for next year, I will sell you some volatility, those people will be trapped. And when the prices go up, they'll have to cover that by going and buying the very expensive bet on the other side of it. And to do that, they'll have to start selling stocks, things that they own. And it creates its own. It's every time we've gotten portfolio insurance of some type, whether it's 1987 or 2008, it's always blown up in our face.
Wow. Okay, everyone, stay with us. We'll have more on this market manipulation with Kevin Freeman. His website, if you'd like to go visit that, is globaleconomicwarfare.com. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Kevin Freeman. He is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. He has some great books out there. Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. And his latest book is Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. His website, globaleconomicwarfare.com. And so during the break, you were talking about there's this recent Senate hearing. This was when they had the heads of the intelligence agencies come in. And, why don't you give us some of the highlights of that?
Yeah, it was actually refreshing for me to have the acknowledgement by the heads of the major intel agencies, including the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, Coates, who, by the way, the previous DNI was Clapper.
Yes.
And he had, you know, literally perjured himself before Congress. He said, we don't spy on anybody, we don't do this. And, you know, he called the Muslim Brotherhood a largely secular group. And, you know, he was just political from beginning to end.
Brennan didn't wasn't much better. Him. Yeah.
Yeah. But Dan Coats was very refreshing.
Hmm.
And by contrast, you know, he admitted up front, and here's some direct quotes. We face a complex, volatile, and changing threat environment. The risk of interstate conflict is higher than at any time since the end of the Cold War. Our adversaries, as well as other malign actors, are using cyber and other instruments of power to shape societies and markets, international rules and institutions, and international hotspots to their advantage. He went on and said, we've entered a period of Cold War, economic warfare. It's all the things that I have, you know, I was tasked to explain to the government over and over and over, and they put out a report February 13th. It's a worldwide threat assessment of the U.S. intelligence community, and it really does echo. It echoes my first book, Secret Weapon, my second book, Game Plan, most of what I've written in Global Economic Warfare. So it was very refreshing, and it was very supportive of the things that I've said. The government has finally woken up to the reality that we are in an economic war. Someone could attack our stock market in an attempt to change the election, or in an attempt to control our economy, or to cause us to win or lose business. So we're at grave risk, and the government is finally acknowledging it.
Well, they're acknowledging it, but what are they doing about it?
Well, that's the harder part. There almost was no mention of a game plan. I mean, I wrote a book called Game Plan, and the good news is the Trump policies actually strengthen us in a number of critical ways. The repatriation of corporate money from outside the United States to the United States will help shore up our economy. Getting a simplified tax code, reducing regulation. Regulations have been manipulated by foreign governments. They'll come in and they'll lobby for certain regulations that make us non-competitive, whether it's in the environmental arena or whatever. And so by acknowledging it and tagging what we talked about in the first segments, which is the ability to manipulate markets, with the fact that the DNI is now aware and the intelligence agencies are now aware that we're in economic war, and then the Trump agenda, if you put those together, we just wake up. We're in an economic war. It's a war we can win. We have strategic advantages. The only way we lose is if we continue to ignore it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in terms of ignoring it or not doing anything, do you think that it's more they don't know what to do, or is there an unwillingness to do anything?
I think there's a political unwillingness. You can't admit certain things. You don't want to deal with certain things. We have a system where as the Democrats have pointed out, although they're the ones most guilty of it historically, foreign governments can play in our elections, whether they buy Facebook ads or whether they try and talk Ted Kennedy into or work with Ted Kennedy to try and displace President Reagan, or you know, the foreign governments have been playing in, and we don't recognize that. We are have a weakness because of our nature of our democracy. We have a weakness in that that foreign influence can play a role. But if we educate the American people and we bring things out on the table and properly recognize, you know, we're not one big kumbaya happy global family, but instead we're actually competitive nations, and our competitors or our adversaries are aiming for us. They are trying to take us down, and we educate the American people on it. We can win this.
Well, I certainly think that that is something that is hard for a lot of people to even fathom, is that there are entities and people out there that spend years, decades even, trying to destroy our country and destroy us personally. And I just think that there's a mental block there that pops up for a lot of people. Within your article there, The Winds of War Part 2, and I just think that you've got a lot of fascinating points there, one of which is exactly what you just said, is that the Russians can and have influenced our election in the past, and certainly the Chinese have as well. Back in the 1990s, the Clintons and the Democrats especially received a ton of money from the Chinese, and the Clintons have a history of selling us out to our enemies. The Democrats, you know, like I said, in the 1990s, were flooded with that cash. But in return, as you point out, they got missile technology. They got most favored nation trade status and were ushered into the World Trade Organization. It should not surprise anyone that she was willing to sell us out to Russia, you know, whether you're talking the Uranium One scandal or the cash to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, it really makes one shudder to think what would have happened if Clinton had ascended to the White House.
Well, there is absolutely zero question on the pay-for-play influence purchase by the Chinese. They were caught. This isn't conspiracy theory. This was in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and people have largely forgotten it. But the reality of it is a restaurant owner in Little Rock, Arkansas, connected the Clinton campaign to moneyed interests in China, which are connected to the government, and they put money, cash, I mean, this isn't, well, they may have bought Facebook ads or they may have had a secret meeting at Trump Tower. This is actual proven documented effort, and it was largely overlooked. I mean, there were slaps on the wrist and so forth, but the Chinese were buying. And what did they buy? You mentioned it, most favored nation status. They bought entry in the World Trade Order. They bought an economic miracle. They bought, you know, from going from very slow growth to the fastest growing economy in the world as they took over industry after industry. They used our technology then to hack in and steal intellectual property.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe $5 trillion a year. The
yes.
Clintons got a few millions and we lost $5 trillion.
Yeah, shocking. All right, let's go and take a break there. We'll have lots more with Kevin Freeman. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Kevin Freeman. He is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. His website is globaleconomicwarfare.com. Highly recommend that you check that out. He has some fascinating articles. So in terms of, I'm guessing a lot of people are listening to this and thinking, wow, this is really scary. And but what's really the end game here? Because, you know, they may be thinking, well, why would they want to collapse our economy if we're their biggest customer?
Well, if you listen to the Senate hearings, it became absolutely crystal clear that we are now aware that China is wanting to supplant the United States as the most powerful nation in the world. They want everything built on a Chinese base. China has been working with Russia since the 2011 and to 2013 period to build an alternative to the Western financial system. They view our debt as a serious problem. We have $20 trillion. They own a good chunk of it, and they feel like that America is on a trajectory of failure and that they're going to give alternatives to every nation in the world that wants to do business with them. They'll replace the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. They intend to replace the international monetary system, how we transact money between countries, the World Bank. They have built a plan to supplant. So people can't fathom, because an American thinks money is a dollar. It's a $100 bill, or it's money in quantified in U.S. dollars. Most of the world doesn't see money quantified in U.S. dollars, but we assume that they all do. If at some point the dollar was not the reserve currency, China's ready to step in and fill the vacuum. There was a point at which the British pound, was the world's reserve currency, and the British fleet ruled the seas, and the sun never set on the British Empire. China views America as a fading power, and that they're ascendant power, and they're preparing for it.
Hmm. Well, in terms of Russian interference within our election, and then the Chinese interference back in the 1990s, it does seem rather coincidental that both of these major attempts were designed to help the Democrats rather than Trump or the Republicans. Do you think that we're really missing the boat, though, in terms of what the actual interference is? I mean, this whole interference with our election, the best that they can show so far in this last election in terms of trying to manipulate people was that, oh, well, Russia bought a few Facebook ads. But other than that, there really hasn't been anything that they can show actually had an actual impact. Well, they did say that they hacked into some voting systems, but no votes were changed. They just basically looked at their database. What are your thoughts in terms of just missing the boat here? I mean, shouldn't we be looking much more at this whole economic warfare?
Well, yes, we should, and it shouldn't be just solely for political reasons. The reality of it is that enormous amounts of money, you mentioned it earlier with Uranium One. I mean, how do you get paid $500,000 to give a speech in Moscow?
Yeah.
How does that happen? It's influence buying, and it's at the highest levels, and it's planned and it's perpetrated. But having said that, yes, this is normal behavior for nations. We act all shocked and everything else. But the reality is that the United States has influenced foreign elections at times, and we do it in our national interests, and they do it in their national interests. The problem is that we are so naive to believe America is the only superpower, we will always be the only superpower, and therefore anyone who interferes in our election, that's wrong. Well, it is wrong, and we should prevent it, but we ought to wake up to the reality. That's also reality. That's how the world operates, and we have influenced other elections. They have attempted to influence ours. We need to stop them hacking into us, and we need to be aware that they do it, and we need to be aware that it's more than just a political token that we can use. Oh, well, we can make President Trump look bad, so we'll dump this out. The reality is they've tried it for years, and they will continue to do it for years.
Well, in terms, though, of the whole Russian collusion and the election and everything else, you mentioned earlier about planting stories in the media and all that. So it kind of makes you wonder how much of this is done on purpose in order to focus our attention on this supposed collusion and take our focus off of the real warfare. I mean, that would seem to be a pretty good strategy, one would think, from Russia's aspect is, yeah, go ahead and keep focusing on the Russian collusion stuff where there really wasn't any between us and Trump. Meanwhile, we're going to continue to sabotage your markets.
Well, I think that we've got to be aware that we have all enemies. You know, Frank Gaffney, my friend, says we protect against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which is the constitutional oath. And we have foreign enemies, we have domestic enemies. And part of the problem that I see is the, if you saw the House Intelligence Committee memo on what happened with the FISA court and so forth, there is this deep state in the United States, the permanent bureaucracy that collude. They tend to take us towards globalist directions. They're the ones that collude with the Russians and the Chinese and others. And they're the ones that are, in my opinion, often enemies of the American people.
Absolutely. In fact, the FISA court opens up a whole big can of worms. Let's go ahead and save that for next segment. Stay with us. We'll have that coming up with Kevin Freeman. And welcome back. We're talking today with Kevin Freeman about the market manipulation and going to talk now about the whole FISA court. And Kevin is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. Check out his website at globaleconomicwarfare.com. In terms of the FISA court, this is, especially in terms of these memos that have come out recently, I think it's really opened up people's eyes in terms of the amount of abuse and also how deep the deep state goes in terms of spying on our own people. I mean, I think that's, to me, the real shocking aspect of the whole FISA court is that you've got one political party willing to use the power of the federal government to go after a political opponent. I mean, that is straight out of Soviet Russia. But in terms of the economic or in terms of the cyber side of things, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what these spy agencies are able to gather, because that was really the whole point in issuing this FISA warrant, was so that they could be spied on.
Well, the technology is so powerful. The ability to listen in and turn on a remote cell phone and listen into a conversation, the ability to use the camera of someone's cell phone, the ability to spy through the television and so forth. It really is Big Brother. It's really powerful, and it's here. It's reality. But we put limits on that. That's why we created the FISA court, so that you had to go to a judge and you have to say, I have really good reason, genuine cause, for you to look for us to be able to use these powers and to look at someone. And what it appears happened in the waning days of the Obama administration is a complete abuse of those powers.
Yes. Yep.
Based on false information, false misleading information, paid for by political operatives. So, I mean, just imagine that. Imagine you're running a local race for mayor, and you decide, hey, I wonder if I could dig up some dirt on my opponent. I'll claim there's dirt on him, and then I'll take it to the FISA court and get permission to go and actually spy on him and see what I can find. That's what took place, only it took place at the presidential level.
Yeah.
Very scary.
It is. And, well, it's also scary in the fact that had they uncovered what they really believed was, you know, or alleged to have believed was going on, I mean, they could be putting a political opponent in jail over this whole fake thing. I mean, that's the real shocking thing, I think. One of the things, though, that keeps coming up, though, is the fact that nobody is being held responsible for any of this. I mean, we've got a couple of demotions there with the, in the FBI. Why are none of these people surrounded this FISA court? And we found out that like 99.96% of these were ushered through, and 12 out of the 14 that were denied were actually not denied. The government just simply withdrew them. So you had all of two rejections from the FISA court. This is simply a rubber stamp. It's going to be abused. But why is no one ever being punished over all of this? I mean, is it that hard to prove that there was malfeasance on the part of the government?
Well, they cover their trail somewhat effectively, and when they didn't, you know, tweets and texts and emails just suddenly disappear. I guess not tweets, but texts and emails disappear and they couldn't be found. And then you have officials writing memos to themselves. Oh, everything we did was completely legitimate, like Susan Rice did on the day of the inauguration.
What a joke.
These are people, and the media is not, that's the issue, is the media is not calling them on it. It's not on the evening news day after day after day, worst corruption in history. If a Republican had done even a fraction of these things and the media didn't like that person, they would be ushered off. They'd never, completely destroyed.
Yeah.
But Susan Rice has lied to the American people repeatedly about Benghazi. It's absolutely crystal clear that those were lies, and she got away with it. Lois Lerner oversaw the IRS literally targeting political opponents of the president. It can be tied back, and they got away with it. The sitting attorney general was found in contempt of Congress, and his replacement actually met with the husband of a presidential candidate who was under investigation. All of these things, blatant, obvious, and true, but the media refuses to deal with them, but they spend all of their time wondering about, did Don Trump Jr. get excited because someone claimed to have dirt on Hillary Clinton? Oh, that's proof. It's collusion. They should all go to jail.
Yeah.
And Russia mentioned 1,000 times during a news broadcast, but they don't even bring up once the genuine, real malfeasance of the Obama administration in the waning days. If I were a Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. If I were a supporter of President Obama, I would be deeply ashamed at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that continues to boggle my mind, is that these Democrats seem to be perfectly okay with using our federal government against political opponents. Well, does that mean that they'd be perfectly okay with if Trump did this? I mean, they ought to be screaming from the rooftops over this, and yet there's silence.
Well, I heard Dennis Prager give a speech over the weekend where he drew a distinction between a liberal and a leftist. And he said a liberal would be screaming over this because a liberal still has views of morality and they want to have a good argument and they're open to free speech and discussion. But a leftist is so sold out to their cause, the ends justify the means, they don't care.
Yeah. Well, with all of this lack of interest by the media, it really makes one wonder exactly how many of them were bought off, because we have evidence that there were payments to these journalists, certainly through the whole Fusion GPS, but we know that Operation Mockingbird by the CIA back in the 50s and 60s, they were buying off journalists and were planting stories. So, I mean, you can't trust the government. It's pretty clear you can't trust the media either, which is supposed to be reporting on the government that you can't trust.
Well, early on in the Obama administration, there were direct threats to reporters. You've leaked something, you're going to jail. So they've threatened it. They've used both carrot and stick to control the media. The media is no longer the fourth estate, an independent party. It's no longer in any way, shape, or form independent. And you can move a nation through the media. We lost the Vietnam War in the media. We have seen throughout history that the media has the ability to make or break people. What's kind of amazing through all of this is that President Trump is still standing.
Yeah.
Despite the deep state and the media going after him, and I think it's because the American people are fed up, and I think it's because of programs like yours, and the access to the internet and information that have kept people awake and alive. Remember Dan Rather tried to destroy President George W. Bush with a fake story.
Yep, absolutely did. Okay, unfortunately we are up against the clock. Everyone, stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Kevin Freeman. His website one more time, globaleconomicwarfare.com. And welcome back. We're into our final segment now with Kevin Freeman. He is one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare. His website is globaleconomicwarfare.com. And Kevin, in this last segment, I'd like to give people some amount of hope here. I mean, a lot of this is rather scary when you think how close we are, really just teetering on the edge in some of these markets. In the past, we've talked about how vulnerable our infrastructure is to cyber attacks, especially utility companies. With the infrastructure spending that Trump wants to do, is he looking at securing some of these vulnerable systems?
That I don't know. He ought to be. The infrastructure needs are great and vast. They're one of the big things that we could do is to create some massive ability to back up information. But that walks back into the deep state and the risks there of who has access to the information. So I don't know. I've not been clued in on the plans, but we do have some good reason for hope. We have an administration that's aware, that's willing to address it. We have adversaries that are equally vulnerable, if not more vulnerable than we are, and we can mention to them that we're aware of their vulnerability and use a mutually assured destruction type thing. We have right now the ability for the government to spend money, although I'm quite concerned about the budget debt and deficit that we're facing.
Yes, as am I. Yeah.
So, you know, we just need to wake up. We are where we are. We're in a global economic war. We're in the strongest position of any player on the map if we will actually take advantage of it. And, you know, we've got America growing again. We have investment opportunities that are being created. And you know, we need to look forward, and then we need to just be aware of the war that's going on around us.
Well, I know that Trump was looking at securing some of our systems against an EMP attack. He was the first one really to take that seriously. I just don't know for sure whether or not that's in the infrastructure bill. In terms of the marketplace, Trump does seem to take this fairly serious, these kinds of economic warfare techniques, whereas Obama seemed to absolutely not take them seriously. In fact, he may have opened the door to some of these things. What are some of the solutions to securing our markets against these, you know, say robo brokers or these trader bots or some of these other attacks?
Well, one of the first things to do is, and I keep emphasizing this, but we are a nation, you know, which means we should have borders, we should have protection, we should have defenses. President Obama had the view that we are just one small part of a globe, and so he didn't tend to look at national boundaries and national issues. One of the ways that we can secure our markets is there are systems that being put in place that limit on high-speed algorithmic trading to where you actually have to put in a real order, and you have to leave the order good for a certain period of time, and that would slow that down. We did put, with you know my strong endorsements, we put some form of an uptick rule back on the market to where that you could stop these waterfall cataclysmic trades and trading would stop after so much down and so forth. That's just the beginning, but we can add more of that. We can do more because we want to make the stock market a chance for people to invest in America,
a chance
for them to own a part of the future of this country.
In terms of protecting themselves or their family, what are some things that people can be doing?
Well, I wrote a book, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and we just walk through how to set your portfolio in a certain way so it would be somewhat protected, how to keep copies of bank records and bank statements. Just realize, just imagine if you watch the movie Darkest Hour, which is about Winston Churchill in the early days of World War II. We should set ourselves on a war footing.
Yes.
We should realize it. And if we do that, there are practical things that I outlined in the book that can help protect us and help our nation survive and thrive.
Yep. It's amazing how much just that change of mindset can help. His books are up on iSpyRadio.com. Just head to the store page. Kevin, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Great. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. You know, I know some of this may have been a little scary, and it should be. Remember, we don't have to be at war with them for them to be at war with us. If you've heard Kamal Saleem, you know this is true of Muslims who are very much at war with us right now. Just because you don't want to kill them doesn't mean they don't see you as a threat and want to kill you. Do take today's show seriously Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.